Welcome to week 3 of the Neighboring Toolkit Sunday School Podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Johnson. Last week, we looked more closely at the neighboring ingredient of relationship. This week, we transition to the ingredient of abundance. As with previous sessions, most of the content for this recording comes from the podcast, The Neighbor Next Door. So occasionally, we'll reference other episodes of that podcast. If you're interested in hearing that podcast, you can find it for free on sources like iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play. And now, without further ado, abundance. Welcome to The Neighbor Next Door, a podcast where we gather on the front porch to talk about the power and importance of neighboring. I'm your host, Matthew Johnson, and once again, I was joined by my colleague in neighboring, Adam Barlow Thompson. This is a special episode because Adam and I don't have a guest. Instead, we sat down with each other to discuss our key ingredients for neighboring. We also shared a couple stories, and of course, we made fun of each other. So I hope you have as much fun listening to this as we did creating it. What comes to my mind with abundance, where we need to start, is individual gifts.
Right.
That's like our entry point into this topic.
Right.
Because we can talk about abundance in a lot of different ways, and that can all be really fruitful, but this is right. It's just a short episode, so well, we hope
we'll see. I think part of why we focus on that scale is because when you just like go up to somebody and say, listen, the world is abundant and good, they are easy. It's really easy for them to be like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
Look around.
Right. What planet do you live on?
It's not. It's not abundant and good. There's bad stuff everywhere, all day, every single day.
Yes. Yeah.
So, but if you break it down to like the fundamental scale of like individuals, and you say, okay, but look at this person. Is this person like, and I think this comes back to like just how your worldview of like, do you think humanity is necessarily good at its core or not?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And we just overwhelmingly think that it is good at its core, partially like rooted in our faith traditions.
Right.
And then lived out and experienced in our practices.
Where we can really see it is if we start with this framework. Every person has gifts to share, regardless of who they are, their age, where they're from. And if we start looking for those gifts, our experience has been it's abundance. There are so many gifts. And it's like, it's the coolest thing ever to find all these gifts.
Right. It is. And like people, the energy that's created in people is what gets me most excited about being abundance focused, because I easily connect to other people's energy and react from that. And I've been in so many meetings as a church leader in particular, if I'm going to go there, but where it's focused on all of the problems and all of the things that are going wrong, and the energy in the room is so draining that people feel like I don't stand a chance, I don't stand a chance to helping this thing go better because it's way bigger than I can handle.
So a counter narrative to that experience of being in a meeting where you're just focused on the issue and what's missing, we started working with a church. It's Resurrection Community Church here in our neighborhood. They acquired a gigantic building.
Right. Huge.
Huge and old.
And old. And there's only like 40 or 50 people in this church.
Yeah.
They got the building for free.
Right, right.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. One half of the building was built in 1910. The other half of the building was built in 1958. So the really old part, of course, is really, really old.
Matt was like a teenager when this was built.
Oh, you landed one. You finally landed an old joke.
Yeah. I mean, this, we're talking ancient.
Oh, man. Yes, yes. So they have this space. They have, they would like to see the education wing converted into a community center. And so they came to us and said, would you be willing to work with us? So we partnered together to begin this process. And we have only just begun.
Yeah. But the thing that the like imagery of this giant building in major disrepair, it's been empty for several years and shows the signs of that, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It is like the perfect metaphor for scarcity.
Yes.
Overwhelming project, too big to handle for any one person. Mm-hmm. It just feels like a problem that you don't know how to solve.
Yes. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what we walk into in this mm-hmm. one particular meeting that we're mentioning in this podcast.
Yes. Yep. And so I like just to clarify, like I think most meetings, if you were having that meeting, where you would start with is, do we know any millionaires?
That's right.
And then what's the first problem we're going to fix?
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. Like that's the, it's so natural. And leaders are taught that mm-hmm. in many professions.
Yeah.
First way you deal with that is you make a list of the problems and you go find the resources to solve the problems.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But what happens in our case instead is instead of focusing on, you know, hey, everybody, you have this giant behemoth building. Right. We ask the question, what gifts are present in the room right now?
Which is good because nobody knew any millionaires. So that would have been a bummer way to start it.
I brought my checkbook and I've got $1 million.
There's one place abundance doesn't happen for us, and that's in our checkbook.
That's true. But instead, yeah, so we had people partner off and share with each other things that they love to do, things that they really care about,
right.
And things that they enjoy doing, things that they're gifted at.
Right.
Because what we did was we just put out this gigantic dry erase board.
And we
started writing down. We said, okay, you've met with each other now. Right. Introduce the person that you talked with.
Which is key because people don't share their own gifts very well.
Right.
So what we did, the way we like to facilitate that is we say, you need to brag about the person you just met.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's fun to brag about your friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not so much fun to brag about yourself.
No, no, no.
So people started, just sharing about the person they met, all the things they did.
So several things happened. One, we filled up this gigantic dry erase board with only a fraction of the congregation.
We could have kept going even.
Yes,
and
yeah.
We didn't because we were running out of time and space.
That's right. The other thing that happened was, there was so much energy and joy in the room.
People were laughing. People were making connections. You're good at that. I wanted help with that. Like, I would love to do that with you. So, people, instead of that dread of the problem so big we can't ever do anything, there was immediate action steps that people wanted to take based on their skills.
Yeah.
And that's pretty terrific feeling, compared to the alternative we were talking about at the beginning of the story.
Right. Because if you say, like, do we have millions of dollars? And the answer is no. And then what do? Go home?
I guess, yeah. Or like you
go
say,
cry?
Or even worse, you say, I guess we need to start doing fundraisers.
Oh, man. The kiss of death.
And people are like, yeah, I'm going to quit this project. I'm not going to participate.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, man.
And instead of wanting to quit, everyone was like, I'm all in.
Yeah.
Because I get to share my gift. I talk about this example a lot. If you come to me and you say, Adam, we need you to either give us money or give us some time in your schedule.
Yeah.
I say no. Pretty much like hands down. Mm-hmm. If somebody comes to me and says, hey, we would love if you'd come to our thing or whatever mm-hmm. and play some banjo for us and play mm-hmm. some folk music, mm-hmm. I'm always available.
Yes.
Like, suddenly my calendar is free.
It's free. Oh, I've got every night free.
Oh, weird. I could do that. Yeah.
That's right.
That's because
right.
that's something I want to do.
Yeah.
I don't want to, like, try to figure out how to fundraise or schedule in another, you know, scarcity mindset meeting.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. That's right. And of course, when Adam says yes to banjo gigs, I say no. But anyway, that's just...
I see how you're trying. What we want to shift to thinking about is, like, where is abundance and scarcity in your life? As the listener of the podcast, mm-hmm. where do you feel like you have a giant building that you don't know what to do with? It's mm-hmm. that big of a problem.
A right? giant metaphorical
building. Metaphorical building. Okay, so and for you, it may be different. So think about your community or a project you're involved in. What is that problem? So if you're in a rural mm-hmm. community, maybe it's that everyone's leaving your small town to go to a bigger city. Mm-hmm. If you're in a suburban community, it's that people are isolated and also don't want to be in relationship. Mm-hmm. They moved there because they had privacy from their neighbors.
Yeah.
If you're in an urban setting, maybe it's crime or homelessness, like huge, big things, right? Mm-hmm. Those are the kind of problems we want you to be thinking about. So where do you start with that?
Yeah. You start with the gifts.
I mean, we told you at the beginning of the episode. I don't know why I have to remind you again.
Oh my God.
Come on, listener.
Are you talking down to our listeners?
What? I mean, that's part of my charm.
They just unsubscribed. I can hear clicking happening.
Our scripture passage this week comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14. The story of the feeding of the multitude. It is another very familiar story that can teach us a lot if we can look at it with new eyes. The story picks up after Jesus has learned of John the Baptist being beheaded. We're going to look at Matthew 14, verses 13 through 21, and I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled, and they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. So we've talked in this podcast about abundance versus scarcity, and that it helps us find abundance if we start looking for the gifts of others and our own. This story gives us a profound insight into how we tend to look at the world and how Jesus looks at the world. We learn that this story happens in a deserted place. Can any of you relate to being in that place? Whether it is a blighted neighborhood, or a dying rural community, or a shrinking church. I think many of us have been there, or we are there right now. When we are in these places, we often respond much like the disciples. We look around and we say, "Hey, This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they can buy food for themselves. We see the need, and we feel that scarcity. We don't have enough to take care of this problem. Now, Jesus pushes back on this, but we need to notice that he doesn't put a burden on the disciples. He doesn't say, "Oh, you're right, this place is deserted and we need to feed the crowds. You guys better start doing some fundraising and come up with enough money to buy food for everybody." Instead, he gives them this invitation. You give them something to eat. It is here at verses 17 and 18 that a major shift occurs. The disciples respond, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus said, "Bring them here to me." How often have I said, "We have nothing here"? And yet, even with my own words, I contradict myself. I have nothing here except this entire community of gifted people. Or I have nothing here except this entire congregation. Why do I say I have nothing here when in fact the truth is there is something here? Sure, it may not be much, but it certainly isn't nothing. It is something. In the case of our scripture reading, we know from the other gospels that these 5 fish and 2 loaves actually belong to a child. They aren't much, but that isn't what Jesus is looking at. He's looking at the gifts that are present. The challenge for each of us is to start looking for the gifts around us. The gifts of the individuals who live near us, the gifts of our family members, the gifts of our brothers and sisters in Christ, and the gifts of our communities. Our experience has been that when we start looking for gifts, we discover abundance. So when we were getting started with the nonprofit and we wanted to focus on gifts and we had this inventory, it was like all these possible job skills that a person maybe had. And it was like
huge.
12 pages long. Yeah, it was massive.
Too big.
Yeah. And so, but we reached out to our neighbor, Mark, and we said, "Can we talk with you to like write down some of your gifts?" And he said, "Sure. I mean, the only gift that I have is annoying my neighbors."
That's right.
And it's such a great joke. And so we're like, yeah, okay. So we sat down and started asking him, like, you know, "Do you have experience with construction? Do you have experience with heavy machinery? And what other types of jobs have you had?" And it just went from one thing to another, and he just mm-hmm. kept sharing more and more. And all these gifts and experiences that we had no idea
right.
that he had.
So part of what we're saying here is like, take permission to name your own giftedness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we are asking you to brag about yourself.
Yeah.
So what are you good at? What is something you know so well you could teach? What's something you're passionate about? What's something that you could make with your hands? These are your skills. These are your gifts.
Mm-hmm.
So start with those and then find those things in your neighbors as well.
Mm-hmm.
And ask people to contribute based on what they're good at.
And then that has a long-term benefit.
Yeah.
I mean, those are...
A benefit you might like relate with joy.
Shocking.
Shocking. Shocking how this is going to all build on itself. Don't forget to go to neighboringmovement.org, where you can find the 52 Weeks of Neighboring and other resources we've created. You can also subscribe to the podcast. I hear from other podcasts that reviews are important.
So this podcast is a production of the Neighboring Movement. It has been edited and labeled by our fantastic intern number 5.
His name is Christopher Swanson.
And our music was provided by Brutal Bear.
The good half.
I'm afraid that's going to come back to haunt
us. It might come back to haunt us. It's true.
And yeah, happy neighboring.
Happy neighboring.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? Why did I buy a printer that prints duplex so that I could manually duplex? It's insane, Mickey.